And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. Tell me if you've ever heard of this expression. Going through the motions. Going through the motions. Plus, leaving the priority. A very important element to consider. What to do. What to do. And then we close it out with a better solution.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
To the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, where? Where? I don't say. Oh, wait, the cat's got it. Okay, killed it. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866. K-Praise, any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. Toucans, a string. That's all it is, folks. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break and then coming back. Stand by for SRN News.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Speaker Paul Ryan staunchly defended the House Republican health care plan today as the only alternative to the current Obama-era law as he confronted forceful opposition from conservatives, medical professionals, and others. Ryan also got some support from the White House. Spokesman Sean Spicer.
I think he's in a very much of a sell mode. The president has and his team have worked very hard on this. They're very proud of the effort. And the product that they have produced in consultation with the House and the Senate.
But Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer claims the GOP health care proposal will hurt the poor.
Donald Trump has talked about helping working America. The plan he has embraced, Trump Care, helps the rich and hurts the average American. And that is not surprising, given all the other things that they're doing the same way.
WikiLeaks is suggesting that it might share sensitive details it's learned about CIA hacking tools with technology companies like Apple, Google, and Microsoft, whose products and services were targeted by U.S. government hackers. If the sharing takes place, that would give those companies a chance to identify and repair any flaws in their software and devices that were being exploited by U.S. spy agencies and some foreign allies. The tactics were described in nearly 9,000 pages of secret CIA files that WikiLeaks published yesterday. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley says the U.S. has to see some sort of positive action from North Korea before it can ever take Kim Jong-un's regime seriously and discuss ways to reduce tensions on the Korean Peninsula. She says North Korea's missile tests are dangerous.
This is not something we can take lightly. The global community needs to understand every country is in danger from the actions of North Korea. And every country needs to respond in the actions of North Korea.
On Wall Street, the Dow down by 69 points, the Nasdaq rose 4, the S&P declined 5, oil down to 50.28 a barrel. This is SRN News.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da I Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true.
Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
In the words of A.W. Tozer, releasing things is as painful as pulling a jaw tooth. Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Say amen if you find that true in your own life. We get so tied up in the earning of money to have things, the spending of money to ensure things, and then the wasting of time caring for and repairing things. So Tozer prayed this, "Father, I want to know thee, but my cowardly heart fears to give up its toys. Please root from my heart all those things which I have cherished so long, that thou mayest enter and dwell there without a rival." Isn't that a great prayer?
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
For joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. What a fun hour of radio that was. You'll have the opportunity, if you did not get a chance to hear James Robison, he will be in the replay, I believe, later on this evening, but he will also be up on the podcast. You can go to kprz.com to get the podcast, or you can go to davidspoon.com, either one, whatever works for you. That's great. Fantastic. But it will be available. I thought it was a lot of fun, maybe a little more fun for me, although I think he enjoyed that. So we talked just for a few minutes off the in between the two segments, and it was nice. Very, very nice. Really, really blessed. He's got that same great preacher voice. You know, he's got that. I love it. All right, we're getting ready to talk about going through the motions. Ironically, I did not know he was going to bring up the Revelation 2, 1 through 7, which is my text for this next hour. So sometimes the Lord just kind of weaves things together. We're going to get into that in a second. But before we do, I need one moment of a little bit of relief, a little bit of merry heart, making like a merry heart. So I do want to bring up something that was discussed with Tugboat Todd. Tugboat Todd, we were just asking a little bit about what particular genre of discussion?
Fairy tales.
Fairy tales. So I wanted to say this because I've mentioned this before in the very first year of the show, and I haven't talked about it a lot since, but it is, to me, troublesome that we've used certain fractured fairy tales to teach our kids things. So, for example, three blind mice. Three blind mice. See how they run. See how they run. Right? They go after the farmer's wife who goes to the kitchen and gets a knife. Have you ever seen okay, so we're teaching kids blind mice going after a woman. She's grabbing a knife. She's trying to cut their tails off. And we think this is something good to teach a 4-year-old. And you can't figure out what's wrong with society. Let me help you.
What's the lesson behind that?
Don't teach that to your kids. That's the lesson. Three blind, see how they run. They all go after the farmer's wife. What, was she a hunk of cheese? I don't get it. And then she pulls out a knife, and she's trying to cut. There's just something wrong with that. Oh, it's just such a wonderful little, you know, melodic tale. It's a sickening, gruesome, X-rated, very, very evil tale. Why do you teach a 4-year-old that? See, this is the societal things that we don't kind of think through. But it sounds so cute. Okay.
They need to stick with VeggieTales.
You better. It's exactly right. Okay. I just had to get that off my chest. Leave me alone. All right, let's get into it. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. This is called Going Through the motions. And here we go.
Just going through the motions.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Going through the motions, Revelation chapter 1, or chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, some of the closing remarks that Jesus made to the church. Chapter 2, verse 1 says this, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate wicked people. And that you've tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name, and have not grown weary. Couple things to note on a passage like this. Absolutely one of my fave portions in Revelation, I confess, and I do teach this at marriages, or when I was doing marriages, this is the text that I would use. Here it is. Jesus is where? He's in the middle or amongst the seven golden lampstands. Those are representative of the church. He's got the seven stars in his right hand. People recognize that as the seven messengers of the church. People say, well, that could be the pastor or that could be an angel or, you know, it doesn't even matter because whoever is speaking to the church is in the right hand of Jesus Christ and Jesus is in the middle of the lampstands. So where is Jesus? He's in the middle. And so the church might be a mess from time to time, and it is messy from time to time, but it's not like God is vacationing on Pluto. The Lord is present, okay? A deist is a person that believes that God created the universe and then went on a long mission to another galaxy. But we don't believe that. We're Bible-believing Christians, and George Washington was not a deist. We'll deal with that another time. But the right reality is Jesus in the middle of the church. And Jesus says this, I know your deeds. Yeah, I know your hard work. I know your perseverance. I know you can't tolerate wicked people. I mean, I know what you got going on here. I know your struggles. You know, people go through struggles and they think, well, I have this struggle and no other person has this struggle. It's not true. Multitudes of people have the exact same struggle as you. You might go, it's not the exact same, Dave, because, you know, my struggle has to do, you know, with doubt, or my struggle has to do with relationships, or my struggle has to do with money, or my struggle has to do with finding a church, or my struggle has to do with pain, or my struggle has to do with loss. You can tell me that people don't know all of those things? Thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people know all those things. You're not alone. Even scripture says the trials you face, they're not unique to you yourself. They might be unique to people of faith, but there are millions of us who are operating the faith. He knows what you're going through. He knows. It's not simplistic. It's difficult. But something happens when we get caught in things that are tough. I can tell you, it's a default system of Christianity, of typical church-going Christians. You want to know what the default is? We revert to the motions. You go through the motions. They'll say, and they have said this before, and they are, and I'll tell you right now, church planters, church historians, they say that tradition brings us a sense of comfort because there are repetitive elements that bring a calming to our lives. That can be true. It's not totally false. It's not totally true either. But what we can do as Christians is go through motions, and by go through motions, I mean this. If you're a person who you go to church, you go to Bible study, you say the certain things that you say, you kind of coast along knowing that there are things that you should do, but the reality is some of the stuff that you're going through is so hurtful or painful or difficult that you're not really getting that much out of those going through the motions. You're just going through the motions because somebody said you need to be doing it. And we can get caught up going through the motions, doing the church kind of things, making sure we don't like people who are wicked, making sure that we're testing people, making sure that we're working hard and persevering. But at the same time, we can be missing an enormous element of faith. we could be leaving the priority on the floor. I just want to say it that way. We could be leaving the priority of Christianity on the floor. You see, you can go to church, and you should go to church. And by golly, if you've been hurt, find a church that you're safe in. There's hundreds of churches in San Diego. I was going to say thousands, but that's not true. But there are hundreds of churches in San Diego that you can go to, that you can be totally safe in, that you can totally worship and fellowship in, and get connected to people with people who will love you. It's there. But don't go through motions of Christianity like it's just a religious exercise. Because when you go through a religious exercise, you lose the meaning. Do you understand that? When you go through the religious, you know, when I sometimes like to work out, sometimes I don't. Okay? That's the truth. When I'm working out, I guess I'm doing okay. But there's times where I'm just doing it to do it, and I don't care. And there's people that read their Bible because somebody said read their Bible, and they read Leviticus, and they don't get a single word, or they kind of fake pray, or yes, Lord, I pray, Father, art thou in heaven, hallowed be in the name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, earth is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And they just recite it. And there's no connection to it. That's going through the motions. Are you a Christian who has gotten to certain points in your walk where you're going through the motions and there's nothing vibrant about your walk? There's nothing alive about your walk. That's what I want to address when we come back, because that means that we have been leaving the priority, and just going through motions. And you don't want to just go through motions, because motions do not connect you to God. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Christ's sacrifice of himself for us motivates us to sacrifice ourselves for others.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Bill Crowder. The National Portrait Gallery in London, England, houses a treasure of paintings from across the centuries, including 166 images of Winston Churchill, 94 of William Shakespeare, and 20 of George Washington. With the older portraits, we may wonder, is that what these individuals really looked like? For instance, there are 8 paintings of Scottish patriot William Wallace, but we obviously don't have photographs to compare them to. How do we know if the artist accurately represented Wallace? Something similar might be happening with the likeness of Jesus. Without realizing it, those who believe in him are leaving an impression of him on others, not with brushes and oils, but with attitudes, actions, and relationships. Are we painting a portrait that represents the likeness of his heart? This was the concern of the Apostle Paul. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, he wrote in Philippians 2:5. With a desire to accurately represent our Lord, he urged his followers to reflect the humility, self-sacrifice, and compassion of Jesus for others. It has been said, we are the only Jesus some people will ever see. As we in humility value others above ourselves, we will show the world the heart and attitude of Jesus himself. Take inspiration from God's Word wherever you go with the Our Daily Bread mobile app. You can set reminders to read the devotionals and even take notes. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesmus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger, they are supporting supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefield's ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Oh, so much going on. The Lord is good. You know, there's a lot of times where you and I can complain because there's a lot to complain about. It's a lot of stuff you look at and you go, oh, that doesn't look good. But God's graciousness in all of our lives is exceedingly abundantly good. You have to think that if the Lord, you know, pours his compassion on you every morning when you wake up and you become conscious and you're awake and you realize you've got another day, that's the compassion of God giving you yet another day. He's not required to. He doesn't owe you another day. But in his graciousness, he grants that. All right, so we have somebody who's calling in. We may be taking the call. We're going to wait and see. I'm going to give him a couple seconds. I think we're going to wait on that. But what we're going to do is talk about this understanding that when you're going through the motions, when you're doing repetitive prayers, and Jesus, by the way, talked against this when he was talking about the Pharisees who thought that they would be heard for their many words. And he also said, don't repeat prayers. Like you just repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. That's going through motions, folks. That's not going to do anything. Even if you are quoting the Lord's Prayer. Some people have said to me, well, no, if I quote the Lord's Prayer, then that's not really being repetitive. That's not true. You can repetitively pray the Lord's Prayer, have no heart behind it, have no meaning in it, and say it. And ironically, Jesus never said, say these words. Jesus, when he gave us that example of the Lord's Prayer, said, pray in this manner, which has much more to do with style than it has to do with exact wordage. So that's kind of an important distinction to make. So as people have gone through the motions, we need to see what is it that brings us to a place of going through those motions, or better said, let me even take a different tact. I'll just change it right here on the spot. What do you do to get out of that? What do you do to get away from going through the motions? What do you do to breach that or kind of move from that so that you don't go through religious motions, religious repetitions, just saying things and doing things because you think that that's going to do some beneficial thing? And, you know, I've gone to several churches where they do a lot of standing and sitting. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of that personally, of up, down, up, down, up, down. It's a little bit like aerobics in church. But the standing up and the going, that's not going to change anything. It's all going to come from one spot. And that comes out of Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. It's not coming out of anything else. It says this, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. There's one thing that Jesus held against the church at Ephesus. It wasn't that they, you know, went through the motions or did the religious things. The one thing he held against them is they had lost their heart in the faith. You have forsaken the love you had at first. You are not in the process of engaging the way that you did before. And Jesus did not say, and I should clarify this real quickly, he did not say they lost it. He said you left it. And that's a big difference. Losing a love is not the same as leaving a love. You have left the love you had at first. You kind of walked away from that wet passion that you had at first, that connection. You see, when you're doing too many traditions, not that all traditions are bad, because they're not. There are fantastic traditions, but your life cannot revolve around tradition because traditions then replace the word of God, and replacing the word of God means that you're functioning and going through motions and you're being religious, or you're doing churchianity versus Christianity. And when you lose heart, you lose that. And you have to recognize 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful. By him you were called into fellowship with his son. It is the essence of our faith not to be little robots, but to be children engaged with our father in fellowship with the son and with the spirit. And when we miss that, we're functioning in these workaholic mentalities that have spiritual connotations. Christians can be workaholics in the church and miss the Lord. Don't tell me every person who goes to church is saved. That's absurd. I mean, that's just like a dumb statement. That's like saying every marriage ever made was exactly ordained of God. No, it wasn't. The idea is to understand that what happens is there's a loss of the heart connection between us and God, and then in order to do it, we do functions. But there was a time where you prayed in your prayer closet and nobody was around you, and it was heartfelt. Maybe you didn't cry, maybe you did, but it was real. And when you lose that real part of Christianity, when you miss that real element, you're missing it. You're leaving your first love. Listen to this passage in Luke 10. It's one of those fabulous passages. Teach on it all day long. Listen to this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and she came and asked him, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, and indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Well, what was she doing that was better? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. She wasn't worried about the social structure or how it came across or what people were thinking or how it looked. She wasn't trying to live a churchianity. She wasn't trying to function by works. She wasn't trying to impress people. She just wanted to be close to Jesus. And Jesus goes, "Yeah, you see this thing she's doing? This is a better thing. And no way that this is going to be taken, because this is what it's all about." And when we leave our first love, we get into that Martha functionality where we're doing things and we're scurrying about and we're worrying about this and we're acting like this and we're buzzing all around and it's not perfect. It's not set up right. We're not doing this right. And everybody's got to help and everybody. And it's like only one person got it. It was Mary. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus going, "I ain't going nowhere. But you should be helping everybody else. Everybody's supposed to do it." Not as much as you should just be sitting next to Jesus. And that's the loss. That's the thing that we forget. That's what escapes our mind. "Well, Dave, no, everybody has to do a certain amount of..." No, you don't. If you need to just sit there at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he has to say, do that. And some of us have gone through so many motions for such a long time, we can't even figure out where to go to sit at the feet of Jesus, which is really bizarre since we are told that we can come into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus Christ 24/7, and we can't find him? How is that possible? Oh, I know. We're not taking the time to spend with him. That's how you can't find him. And it's not about religion. It's not about religiosity. It's not about performance. It's not about performance orientation. It's not about work orientation. It's about Jesus. And we need to do a better job of sitting at the feet of Jesus and recognizing what's important and what's not. Going through the motions, that can lead to disaster. What kind of disaster? That can lead to missing the great priority as established by God himself. Our genuine heart-to-heart fellowship with the Lord. You know, the Muslims can't have fellowship with their quote-unquote God or their quote-unquote prophet. And unfortunately, in Judaism, they've missed Abraham being close to God as a friend of God. Can't help that. That's just bad teaching by rabbis. But Christianity makes it crystal clear. Fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is at the core of our Christian faith. Period. Right relationship leads to right ministry. That's how it goes. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back and talk about what should we do.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over two decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
Christ's sacrifice of himself for us motivates us to sacrifice ourselves for others.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Bill Crowder. The National Portrait Gallery in London, England, houses a treasure of paintings from across the centuries, including 166 images of Winston Churchill, 94 of William Shakespeare, and 20 of George Washington. With the older portraits, we may wonder, is that what these individuals really looked like? For instance, there are 8 paintings of Scottish patriot William Wallace, but we obviously don't have photographs to compare them to. How do we know if the artists accurately represented Wallace? Something similar might be happening with the likeness of Jesus. Without realizing it, those who believe in him are leaving an impression of him on others, not with brushes and oils, but with attitudes, actions, and relationships. Are we painting a portrait that represents the likeness of his heart? This was the concern of the Apostle Paul. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, he wrote in Philippians 2:5. With a desire to accurately represent our Lord, he urged his followers to reflect the humility, self-sacrifice, and compassion of Jesus for others. It has been said, "We are the only Jesus some people will ever see." As we in humility value others above ourselves, we will show the world the heart and attitude of Jesus himself. Take inspiration from God's Word wherever you go with the Our Daily Bread mobile app. You can set reminders to read the devotionals and even take notes. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Most of my life.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Wow. I like this one. Whenever we do talk, whenever we have a discussion about Christianity, I do think there's a vast difference between churchianity and Christianity. And churchianity is the, you know, rules of man, rules of an institution, And again, I'm going to say this just one more time. I hope I never have to repeat it. Some traditions are fantastic, but when tradition takes the place of the word of God, it's sinful and it's a breach. And Jesus spoke against it about 15 times. So there's not a lot of room there. And when somebody takes the traditions or the rules of men or the laws of men and that supersedes or that has a greater preeminence than God's, that becomes a form of religion, but it's not a form of religion based on Jesus. So it's just like, okay, that's what it is. So what we've talked about is understanding that sometimes you can get into that motions period where you're just going through the motions and you're doing the things that, you know, people tell you to do. You know, the church's Ten Commandments. The church always has a Ten Commandments that's different than God's, always. It's no matter what you say. If you're a pastor and you're listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Shorts, no shorts. Suits, no suits. Ties, no ties. You know, rock music, not rap music. Hymn only. Guitar, organ, no drum. It's all the same. You just keep picking it. Doesn't matter. So that kind of mentality leads way into, you know, different rules by different people. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for churches that say, look, we want to dress to the nines. We want to do the best we can. We want the music to be like this. I have zero problem with them doing that ever. I just have a problem with them putting that on other people. That's it right there. Not everybody is Peter. Not everybody is James. Not everybody is John. And let's be honest, in the disciple realm, not everybody's Bartholomew. In fact, it doesn't seem like anybody's Bartholomew for the most part. So the reality is there's a variation there. And we have to understand that when you get into the motions place and you get into that churchianity and that, you know, you got to follow this. And people can do that by reading their Bible and praying to such a degree. They do it as a kind of a dry functionality. And there's no real heart in the prayer. There's no real listening in the Bible. That happens too. It happens in everything. You dry it out because you're just going through the motions. You don't even care. And that's because our hearts aren't connected to it. And that's what that second segment was all about, is understanding that we're leaving the priority, that close connection that our heart longs for Jesus Christ. If you're somebody that calls yourself a Christian and you don't have some sense of desire for Jesus, there is a problem. You don't have to be nutsy cuckoo. You don't have to be Baptist, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Lutheran. You don't have to be Presbyterian. You don't have to be Methodist. You don't have to be any of that. But you better have some draw to Jesus Christ if you're a Christian. I mean, that's not really escapable. So Jesus tells the church what to do. And this is my favorite part. This is what I would teach at weddings time and time again. And if you're listening and you're in a relationship and you want to know how to get it all back to the way it was, this is the answer. Because it's the same answer that Jesus gives us to get it all back the way it was with him. So we know that this is the right way to go about it. It's a Revelation chapter 2. Verse 5. So after verse 4, he says, I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. He says, consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. And then he puts this caveat in there. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. So you can tell Jesus is not joking, right? If you don't do this, I'm going to wipe you out. And that's what he says. He doesn't say, well, if you don't do this, I'll wait around and see what happens. He goes, no, if you don't do this, I'm going to remove your lampstand. Your lampstand's not going to be close to me. You'll be gone. By the way, the church did close. I mean, as a matter of record and fact. But he gives you three things to do. These are three things to do to keep our relationship fresh with the Lord. It's three things to do to keep out of churchianity. It's three things to do if you want to have a great relationship, husband to wife. These are three very simple forward things. Number one, remember or consider how far you have fallen. In other words, in different words, remember how it was I talk about this a lot. In the honeymoon period of Christianity, where you can drool out a prayer and God says yes, you know, that's not a you can never get back there again mindset. It's just it's overwhelming when you first get into the Christian faith. When the Holy Spirit places you in spiritual things, it's different. Life changes. You have a different perspective. But there's not a requirement for you to have a lesser and lesser and lesser relationship with the Lord. There's nothing in Scripture that says now that you're a Christian, it'll really be awful the longer you're a Christian. Well, that's not in the book. Here's what's in the book. Remember how far you've fallen. Consider how far you've fallen. Remember how in the beginning of your faith, you were like, bzzz. And that's the phrase I would use. That would be the actual sound I would use. Bzzz. You were like, you were either on fire, you were glowing like a little firefly, you were excited that something was different in your life. You were excited that you have found the answer. You've been searching for the answer all your life. You came across the Christian faith. Or even if you grew up in a Christian home and you get to the point in your life where you realize, you know, this is all about Jesus. Even at that moment when that happens, or in that duration of time when you recognize this is all about Jesus, that's what you got to remember. And then the Scripture tells you something you just almost can't believe. And then the Scripture says, repent. Repent for what? Repent that that's not your passion, that you don't think it's important for you to get back there. Repent that you think it's important to go through churchianity and go through the motions as opposed to sitting at the feet of Jesus. You should be sorry for that. You should change your mind. You should change your thinking. As the word repent means, you should change your direction. Go back to where you were. Go back to, if you need to go back to ground zero, which is sitting at the feet of Jesus to get that relationship back, then go back. Now, that doesn't mean you go back to a church that hurt you. It doesn't mean you go do dumb things. It means that you make the pursuit of the Lord the passion that it was. I've talked to countless number of Christians. Let me just say countless. Okay, less than 2,000, more than 600, who have become Christians. They read the Bible, and all of a sudden, they get the Bible. You ever notice? Oh, I understand it. I couldn't believe it. I read it. I understood it. Well, that place that you were when you read that Bible, that's what you want to go back to. That's what you need to remember, and that's what you need to apologize to God for or turn direction towards, because that's no longer a priority. And then he tells you the one key, the key for every great relationship on planet Earth that's not based on sin, and that's this. He says, remember, repent, and do the things you did at first. The first things that I used to do, we went to every fellowship everywhere, every moment. Jesus was everything and everything and everything and everything. He was the all in all. And that's how it should be. But we see we're so busy now because we're mature. Great. Well, no wonder Jesus said, if you don't receive it like a child, you'll no wise enter in. Well, no wonder he said that. Because maturity seems to block out productivity sometimes a little too often. Now, I'm not saying you should just be an imbecile or childlike. But there's this innocence in a child that is very revealing how they're hungry and trusting and love to just be engaged in what they're engaged with. Well, we used to be like that. What's wrong with that? Nothing. And if we did the things we did at first, you want to hear a great relationship thought? I've taught this before, and I'll teach it again. Husbands and wives, they spend all this time trying to win each other. Then they win each other, and they get married, and then they stop winning each other. Well, no wonder the honeymoon is over. You stopped winning each other. When you were winning each other, you would do everything and anything for each other. Leave little notes on the cars, send flowers, get chocolates, do this, surprise trip here, surprise this, little gift here, little this, all those things. Well, now that we're older and we have kids, we can't do that. Well, no wonder your marriage is awful. You don't do what you used to do. And then you can't figure out why your wife is not the way she used to be, and you can't figure out why your husband's not the way he used to be. I got a message for you, and it's not happy birthday. It's do what you used to do. That's what makes the difference. Get back to that stuff. Why aren't you doing that? I try to win my wife almost every day. I mean, every week for sure. Almost every day I try to do something to win her. Is that the answer all? Yes, I just don't do a very good job of it. But yes, that is the answer, because that's what Jesus said. Do what you did at first. All right, when we come back, we're going to go to the final solution of all of it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Depends on his grace, so I'm trusting in him and I'm seeking his face, and the power of God will deliver me out of this hole.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
As a Christian, the law offices of Robert J. Bomber has always practiced honest and fair dealings with his clients. The fact that he's been in business for 45 years speaks to this fact. His staff has been with him an average of 10 years, and they care as much about his clients as he does. Calls are answered and returned promptly, and he makes after-hours appointments. The first consultation is free. If you have needs of an experienced attorney to handle such matters as custody, divorce, child support, visitation, spousal support, and retirement, call the law offices of Robert J. Bomber at 619-497-0054. Family legal matters such as these are difficult, plain and simple, and that's why you need an experienced attorney. To set up an appointment with Robert J. Bomber, call 619-497-0054. That's Bomber, B-A-U-M-E-R, 619-497-0054. A good person to have on your side.
A question a lot of married couples ask is, can we afford to have children? Today, we'll get some advice from a financial expert. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Chuck Bentley, the CEO of Crown Financial, offers several steps that couples should take in the process of determining their financial ability to raise children. Step 1, make a functional budget. It would be a major challenge to prepare for anything new in your life if you don't know the status of your finances. Next, learn to save money. Like all new adventures, there will be a price to pay, so you should save money with great joy, knowing you are preparing for a new life. Step 3, evaluate your two-income status. Once you have a child, someone will need to watch your baby. Perhaps you have family in the area who can watch your baby at no cost, or you can perhaps work part-time to lower the cost of child care and spend more time at home. Step 4, borrow, don't buy. New parents can be overwhelmed by the huge amount of gear required for a baby. While it serves a purpose, most of the time all this stuff is only necessary short-term. The next step, get wise counsel. Adam and Eve had to raise their children without the benefit of grandparents. But the rest of us are surrounded by resources and parents, friends with children, and other new parents. There are also a number of wonderful ministries that can help. And finally, get involved in a Crown Bible study on personal finances. It will help you reduce fear, make a plan, and begin saving for your future children. Well, here's another consideration for a growing family, health care. And these days, health insurance can be incredibly expensive. If you're concerned about the costs of insurance, here's great news. There's an affordable, God-honoring alternative called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare is not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable, biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Is this you? Is this you?
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Wonderful day today. Just have enjoyed the opportunity to share with people and have people share with me. It's been fantastic. We have been discussing the idea of Christians going through the motions, getting stuck and moving their walk from Christianity to churchianity. Very dangerous place to be. And that Jesus made it quite clear that what's happening there is that we're having a loss of the single major priority, and that's our hearts connecting to the Lord We had that opportunity to review in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, how Martha and Mary had two different visions of what was important in relationship to Jesus Christ. Martha really believed that scurrying about and doing the things and getting everything prepared properly and so on and so forth was much more important. But Jesus made it clear that Mary had chosen the better by choosing just to sit at the feet of Jesus and would not, in fact, tell Mary to move and to help Martha. In fact, he actually, I wouldn't say chastised as much as challenged Martha. And then we talked about one of the things that we're supposed to do. In that same core text out of Revelation, we come up with that we're supposed to remember how it was when we were connected earlier. Repent, which means change direction to go back to that, and do the things that we did at first, which really requires us to concentrate on doing things that we did like we did in the beginning of our faith. Some people were, I think, a little more bold in their faith when they first got saved, right? Willing to witness a little more. I don't know that. I don't think the loss of boldness comes from God, but I think it has been taught that, well, now that you're more mature, you don't really need to share about Jesus. You can just show Jesus by the way that you get up from the church pew and get into your car and drive home. I'm like, no. You're supposed to share. Tell people what God has done for you. You don't have to go to classes to do it. It's not that it's a bad thing to go to classes to learn or to grow in that. But if you're using that as an excuse not to share, then that is bad. So I want to lay down what I think at the last couple of minutes here is the big, 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 big thing. And I'm going to read a little bit. It's not a huge portion of text, large enough. And I'm going to tell you that I think this is a better solution in regards to going through the motions, in regards to leaving our key priority and the things that we're supposed to do. I want to give you the topper, or as we've built the sundae and put ice cream on it, and we put nuts on it, and we put chocolate syrup on it, and then whipped cream on it. Now I'm going to give you what I would call the cherry. Okay? All right. Genesis 32:22. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he sent them across the stream, and he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. The man said, "You will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, which is, "I saw the face of God, and yet my life was spared." So here's the big key, or the big component of this. Jacob was wrestling with what we would believe as an angel, since the angel, or the person described as a man, it was not just able to bless him, but after Jacob was done, Jacob described the place as wrestling with God, which would typically be the angel of God, and surviving and living. But that's not, I don't even care about it. Jump into theologies all day long. I don't care. Do whatever you want with that. That's not the point. Here's the point. Jacob wrestled with God. That's the point. You see, there's this, well, you know, I'm not entitled to, you know, wrestle with God. You're not? Huh. It worked out pretty good for Jacob. He became Israel. That's a pretty good promotion from Jacob to Israel. That's pretty good. And he wrestled with God. And he wrestled with him and he said, "I'm not going to let go until you bless me." It's like, you gotta... I mean, this is like big-time wrestling. And he's like, "I got you in the hold. It's not the sleeper hold because I'll never put you to sleep, but I got you in a full Nelson, and I'm not letting go until you bless me." And the angel's like, "Okay, get off of me." And he's like, "No." And it's like, okay, it's like daybreak. It's like, I got to go. I don't know why he's got to go at daybreak. Maybe somebody would see him. Who knows? But he's like, "No. Like, get off of me. No. Get off of me. Bless me. Get off me. Bless me. Fine, you're blessed. And Jacob described it as wrestling with God. Jacob described it as having that engagement with God. He struggled with God. Because you struggled with God and with humans. That's what the angel said. And that word struggle is wrestle, as in wrestle. So you know what you do? In order to get to that place that you used to be, that you loved everything about the Lord, and then somebody said the word Jesus, and your eyes lit up and your ears kind of went, woo. You wrestle with God until you get back there. You don't quit. You don't give up. You say, I'm not going anywhere until you bless me with you. Period. And that's how you get your name changed and become the leader of a nation. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.